Flight 404 by Bartholomew Cryan. Read by Philip Rose. The sky is burning in fast forward, the wind blowing backwards. Formless, effervescing plankton expand and dissipate, consuming one another for growth, popping like pixelated fireworks in superimposed bioluminescence. Their silhouettes scar the conflagrant sky with a silent, salted fear. Eyes roll into darkness, and there is the sound of grinding rocks, cracking hungry bones. The sun splits into fiery jaws, descends onto the shivering earth. Ripped skin is born from flames. Shapeless matter whirs in suspended animation. Hills are formed and defiantly rise. Mountains cough and explode in drowning fire. Red worms are pulsing in soup. The pan is blackening. The worms ignite. Muted invertebrate screams echo. Worm broth shudders and splits, and piercing sunlight floods in.
Sir, will you please close your blind?
My eyes open slowly, and I swivel to look at the speaker with incredulity. A blank, humming heat in my eyes.
Sir, you're blind?
Gradually, lines are forming in the whiteness. A lady, in a blazer. A hat rests precariously slanted upon her head, her hair in a tight bun. She is looking at me strangely.
No, I can see, I say.
She squints at me in bewilderment and gestures past me to a window. Beyond the panes, there is the soft lap of blue sky on cloud coast. The rising flare of a new day blushes the billows from beyond the horizon. My view is cut abruptly to alabaster infinity as the woman's hand slams the blind shut. She rights herself and looks at me with a face of composed confusion.
Please keep your blind down for the duration of the flight, sir.
Who are you? I say, kneading my scalp between my fingers and trying to focus my nervous pupils. She keeps her eyes fixed on me and shifts her weight, taps a silver rectangle name badge emblazoned in dark print with Karen.
Karen,
she says. She turns to leave. There is a pressure in my head that is building with my disorientation. She begins to walk away, and I realize with an anxious twist in my guts that I want her to stay.
Karen, wait!
She glances back at me, looking tired and bored.
What?
Where are we?
Please keep your blind down for the duration of the flight, sir, she says again, emphasizing the word flight.
We are on a plane. She makes a frowning face and heads down the aisle. I look after her, feeling betrayed without knowing why. Passing four rows, she turns quickly, looking back at me, meeting my eyes, then passes out of sight. Beads of cold sweat emerge from my forehead as my heart begins to pump previously docile blood. My lucidity is returning in unwelcome high definition. The snores of my fellow passengers are increasingly transmuted to bitter rasps, and the clogged pores of the sleeping woman to my left look like dirty sinkholes. I fidget in my seat, the anxiety of reality grating on me, filling me to a sharp point, skewering my nerves. I neurotically fiddle with the buttons on my shirt, twisting one off by accident, then decide I should look out the window again.
You've done it before, I think. But what if it's different this time?
You're getting more and more awake now.
The pills are wearing off. Try not to panic. What are the odds you die in an airplane crash? Just look out the window and don't panic. Never panic. You might make a scene again. It could make everything worse. Much worse. And then it would really have been better to never have looked at all. You're already biting your nails. I nip into the quick of my nail by accident, and blood blossoms underneath. I close my eyes and press my forefingers into my temples for a moment. Peeling the blind up a tiny bit, I glimpse the wing. It jolts up and down under the power of the wind. I recognize the airplane's turbofan engines from Google Images, but they look much bigger in real life. The noise they make seems to emit from inside my own head. The sound of dying machines. Robot screams. A wintry palm grips my throat at the thought of mechanical failure. Charred rubble. I shut the blind quickly and look around. Probing my blazer pockets, I find an amber prescription bottle and shakily unscrew the lid. I summon spittle into my mouth and coax two yellow tablets down my gullet. Leaning over my armrest, I look at the person behind me. Drowsy woman of mid-40s. Her handbag is knitted with bits of fabric and held affectionately to her stomach. Her hair clean but frayed. She looks back at me through pinched, tired eyes. Weighing on the chair in front of me is a corpulent Colonel Sanders look-alike. His furry maw dances to the rhythms of his snore. The sound of slumbering breaths is constricting the air around me, making it heavy and claustrophobic. The incessant wail of the engines making my eye twitch. Everyone is asleep. Why can't you be like the others? I'm jittering in my chair, uncomfortably praying for sleep, when out of the corner of my eye I see movement, a leg changing positions. I lean over to get a look at the person. They are dressed in a grey suit with a tie-less white shirt and black brogues. He is looking into the desolation of the closed blind. I cough and he turns his head towards me. My teeth clamp together, preempting the surge of quivering bile up my esophagus. The man has no face. Where his face should be, there is a void, like a perpetual cigarette burn on film, as if reality has not processed his face. It is not there. He seems to look back at me, measuring, waiting. Are you losing it? You only just swallowed the pills. I dig my nails into the back of my hand, twisting the skin for clarity, willing myself to wake up, my heart to quiet. I cough again, maintaining my stare, and he raises a hand to where his mouth should be and releases a garbled sound as if imitating my cough. He drums his hands on the tray in front of him, then rises and slips down the aisle. I unravel a piece of scrunched napkin from my pocket and wipe my forehead, watching him leave. He heads in the direction of the toilets and cockpit. I try to restore order to my timorous breath and begin to viciously chew my thumbnail. What if he tries to... I hear the turbofan engine splutter. Crash the plane! I tear the blind open and look out while starting to intently fold my napkin in half, and then in half again, and then in half... He's going to kill us all! And then unfold it again, and... And you'll be too busy! The plane shudders. Folding a napkin! The engine is trailing a light stream of smoke. I tear the napkin into shreds, crushing the detritus between my sodden palms and rising from my chair. With trepidation writhing in my stomach, I stalk down the aisle in pursuit of the man. I can feel it, a rattle in my bones, a sureness, a palpability of his impending depravity. He is standing outside the toilets and turns to watch my approach. The hollow gaze sets my nerves alight, convulses my insides, and strengthens my conviction. The black depths are evil. You know it. As I get closer to him, a pungency grasps me like melted plastic. My lungs are frantically flapping inside my chest. He turns away from my advance towards the cockpit door and starts trying the handle. An ebony ooze trickles, treacle-like, out from his facial rift and onto the door handle. A tired-looking old man emerges from the toilets in time to watch my clenched hand sailing into nothingness. I'm instantly struck by a consistency under my knuckles like meat in a plastic bag, imitation flesh. The faceless man jerks under the force of my blow away from the door handle, and I take the opportunity to restrain him under the arms of his suit jacket. Instantly, the old man from the toilet raises his voice.
"What are you doing, you maniac?"
He tries to wrestle the faceless one out of my grip, but I hold on even tighter. From the chasm of my captive, a piercing noise begins, like a dial-up modem, like robot screams, like the wail of the engines. The man is shouting,
"Help! Help! This passenger is being attacked!"
"Can't you see? He's going to kill us all! Are you blind?" I shout as the man tries to pry my hands free. "He's going to crash the plane!" I scream in his breathless, sagging face. The man stops and looks intently into the suited murk. "Can't you see him? Can you not see the void?" I shriek. He stares into the facelessness with scrutiny, then back at me. He turns his head down the aisle leading to the cabin and roars,
"Help! This man has gone insane!"
"You've gone mad." The thought washes over me like cold water, sucking the wind from my lungs. The grey suit jacket and its occupant dodge out of my grip. I feel myself sinking to my knees. The rough hands of the aged man grab my shoulders, and I hear his voice, husky and somber.
"Whatever possessed you to do a thing like that?"
I feel like crying. The man with no face is standing nearby and gesticulating at me. A static drone pours from him. I catch a glimpse of the cockpit handle. The ooze has melted through the lock and the door clicks open. The sound draws our attention, and for a moment, the three of us are still. Then the faceless man lurches towards the door, pulling a pistol from inside his blazer. The man holding me starts shrieking, "Help!" again as I scramble to my feet. I clatter to the door in time to have it slammed in my face. On the other side, I can hear frenzied machine squeals, interspersed with the shouts of the pilots. I start ramming the door. A tremor in the plane knocks me off my feet. Beyond the door, I hear a gunshot, then hissing air. Finally, the intercom crackles. Karen's voice echoes round the cabin.
"Ladies and gentlemen, please do not be alarmed if you heard a slight disruption in the cockpit. This was due to a technical fault that has now been dealt with. If all passengers could make their way to their seats, we will be arriving at Glory in 10 minutes.
I breathe out deeply. Passengers have begun to wake up. They peer lazily out of their windows. The adrenaline seems to have made the pills kick in, and my head swims dreamily on the pulsing waves of my steadying heartbeat. I linger weightlessly outside the cockpit, waiting for Karen. The intercom coughs into life again.
"All passengers back to their seats."
Emphasis on the word all. I rap weakly on the cockpit door with my knuckles, beginning to feel encumbered by my own body as eyes settle on me from the cabin. She's probably fine. My standing feels scrutinized and wrong, warming embarrassment flickering up my body. All passengers back to your seats. I walk quickly and ashamedly down the aisle to the cabin. A worried but familiar-looking man is sitting in my seat, so I look for another, pointedly avoiding the vacant one left by the faceless man. I wander around,
row after row of red, newly woken eyes studying me from afar, before rising anxiety forces me to duck into the obscene space.
At least you're close to the cockpit, just in case.
I fidget and try to look out of the closed window. Someone coughs behind me, and I turn to find the man in my seat staring at me. He looks as if he's seen a ghost. I awkwardly wave to placate him and mouth the word, "Hi." He goes white and fingers an amber prescription bottle out of his pocket, shakily coaxing two tablets onto his palm. I drum my fingers on the flight tray and study a scuff mark on my black brogues to try to forget about the burning stare of the pale man boring into my back. I get up to escape to the refuge of the toilet. Out of the corner of my eye, I notice the man beginning to fold a napkin over and over in his hands. The inside of the bathroom is lit like purgatory and purrs with pressure. Shapeless matter whirs in suspended animation. I feel an odd new weight to the inside of my suit pocket and investigate with a shaking hand. My timorous fingertips close on the cold steel of a pistol. My eyes widen. I feel sick. Coughing into my hand, I try to massage my constricting throat, which is clogging with a thick mucus. My esophagus tightens. I notice the palm of my hand. It's stained with a black ooze. I look in the mirror.